Good morning. This past week's daf was the first daf in the fourth perek in Maseches Ksubis, perek Nairush and Ispatsim. Okay, let's see over here. The truth is that this sugya over here is very much connected with the sugya that we learned back on the Maseches, the Nagar B'Kever, those Yisoidis. So, try to put things together over here. Let's see. Zok the Mishnah, Nairish and Spatzo, Boishta, Upigma, Uknoso, Shelovio. Vatzab, it's Fusa. Mishnah says that the Chiyuvim, which are Chal on the boil, as a result of a Maisa Oynes or a Maisa Pitoin is Shalavia. Boishto Pigmo Knoso Shalavia, that's what we learned before, that Mefata the Chiyuve Momenes is Boishis Pekam Knas, and by Tfusa, which is the Oynes, there's an additional Chiyuv Momenes Tekechiyuv of tsar, which is nezek, which is bechlal the dal dvorm of nezek. So the Mishnah shalaviyu. The Mishnah says as follows: Om the bina shalay meis ha'av harehin shel av. Amod bedin. So if the father was alive at the time of that amod bedin, harehin shel av meis ha'av harehin shel achin. If the Av was alive, which basically means that his chus, his right, that in his harehim shel Av. So this is bechlal the halacha at the chusim of the father, at the chusim that he has on his bas. So Zotah Mishnah, that if there was an Amod Bedin while he was alive, and he dies after that, so then this has the din of any other moment that he has, that he'll go over the Yerusha to his children, to his sons, even though he didn't collect it yet. That's halacha. Meis ha'av harein shalachin. However, says the Mishnah, lo yispik la'am bedin ad shemeis ha'av, but were it to be that the Amod Bedin didn't happen till the father died. So he died before the Amod Bedin. Then, says the Mishnah, Harehein Shel Atzmo. Then things are different. That means that what the Mishnah is telling us is that even though that were there yet to be Amod Bedin, so then the sons would take over the din of the father, and they would follow through with the collection of the money that's coming to the father. That's only after Amod Bedin. But before Amod Bedin, if the father died before Amod Bedin, so then the schus, or that right, that din that the father has to get this money is poka. It falls off. It doesn't continue on to the sons. That's what the Mishnah says. And Harehein Shel Atzmo goes to her. I said a couple of points over here to explain what happens over here. The Mishnah is telling us that there's a difference between on the monies that's coming to the father before Amod Bedin and after Amod Bedin. Right, that's what the Mishnah is telling us over here. Now like this. Now, Pashtus, right, means simply this should pertain to Knas. Knas is such a kind of chiv that Amod Bedin has a bearing on Knas. And therefore there's a difference between before Amod and after Amod Bedin. However, when you're talking about something which is a chiyuv moment, and we have to get our terminology clear over it, because it's going to be a little confusing. So I'll try to just give you a little dictionary over here. I don't know if I'm going to always use the right words, but I'm going to try that. There are two usages of the word knas, right? Knas is used to explain what the source of this chiyuv is. Where does it come from? Right? What kind of chiyuv is it? A momnishtik chiyuv comes from, like we learned before, that if it was a loss of money, you're replacing money that was lost. That's a momnishtik chiyuv. Right? It's called tashlumin. Tashlumin is the idea that you're being mashlim the loss. Right? Knas, on the other hand, is not being mashlim the loss. Knas is a chiyuv for the action that was done. Right? In simple terms, it's a penalty. That's what it is, right? A penalty when you go through a red light, you didn't cause any loss, right? You know, the $50 ticket that you're paying over here is not, it's a penalty for the action. Okay? So, you know, in both cases, of course, there's an action which is the reason for the cause. You know, a person breaks someone else's window. So, you know, that ma'isa mazik that he did is what's causing the chiyuv. Actually, over there, it's more than just the ma'isa mazik; it's the hefsid that was incurred. That's mechayev to make the replacement. But when a person goes through a red light, right, or any of the knosses of the Torah, so you're not. It's not because of a loss. Many times that there might not even be a loss. But even if there is a loss, but the loss doesn't have to do with this. This is not to replace the loss. Okay, so that's what we look at as what the source of that mechayev is. It's knas, it's penalty, not replacing a loss. Now there's another issue. Right, which is also has, which the terms are hard to differentiate over here, so that's why I want to be clear over here, that even when we're talking about knas, right, something which the ikra knas, something which means its original mechayev is knas, there's a second issue. And the issue is as far as the we'll call it the quality, the eiches hachiv. What level of chiv is there, and I'll explain what that means. That when a person is mazik someone else, for example, right? So as soon as that action happens, he caused the loss, and that is what's mechayev him. That he has a full chiv. Now whether he could extract the money in bezdin or not, because he has no way to prove it, is irrelevant. In klape shmaya means in the real truth of the matter, as soon as he does it, that's mechayev, right? And the other person, right? The nizik over here really has a claim, to the extent that you know if there were an edim, you know the nizik could be taifis, right? We'll see how much of a whether that pertains only to over here really, but just to bring out the point. So when you go to Bezdin, right? When you go to Bezdin, it's just what we call a gili milso ba'alma, right? Now Bezdin knows, and now Bezdin could enforce it, right? But it's just revealing us to what happened then. That's what the Amad Bin is accomplishing. Nothing's changing as far as the chiyuv is concerned. It's just revealing to us that what happened then, and the chiyuv was fully nigmar at the time of the action. Okay? So when we want to talk about even before Amod Bedin, the Nizik, right, has a full momnistic tfiyah on the Mazik, and you know if he dies, he'll yarshin it over to his children. That's the halach over there. Now concerning a knas, like we see over here, that there's a difference between before Amod Bedin and after Amod Bedin. In the essence of the chiv itself, Because before Amad Bedin, excuse me, if the person dies, he can't yashin over to his children, even though subsequently there was an Amad Bedin, right? We don't, over there, we don't look at it the same way there. Okay, fine, now we have Edom, so, you know, it all happened back then. If that's what happened, then, you know, we should just turn back, look backwards, and then it was his, and then he yashin it over. So you see from the fact that there's a difference, let's say over here concerning Yerusha, that there's a difference in the Eichus Achiv, in the quality or the status of this monetary monies that it changes and it advances from before Amadin to after Amadin. So that means that let's say in our case, that as a result of the Maises Nus of an audience, let's say, so that's Mechayiv Knas. When we say it's Mechayiv Knas, but the Chiyiv is not on the same level were it to be a momnistic Chiyiv. And so therefore, before Amad Bedin, if we have, you know, Knas Tikachiv and Momnistik Achiv, there are different dinim. For example, the halacha of being able to yashin it to one's children. So this, that a person can't yashin, like we're seeing from the sugi over there, a person can't be merish lebon of knas, that's because of a weakness in the chiv, or how it translates to him, that it's a weakness in what he has, right? As being that the his chayvus, that the boil, the ma'anis has at this point, that there's a weakness in the chiv. Amod Bedin is what completes and solidifies that chiv, but before Amod Bedin, we don't have that, so we'll call it at this point, it's a weaker chiv. And if the weaker chiv, so that means that translates to the father, who's supposed to get this money, that he doesn't really have it yet, or he doesn't have it enough that it could be transferred through the halacha of Yerusha. Okay?
Is that the same by other kenasas also, or is that only over here?
So pashtus, it should be by other kenasas also. Right? We'll see about if we get to that. That is a big machlokes in the Rishonim about these things over here. But pashtus, Shitas Rashi, I think the Ritva says, Lo Yishamanu in Rashi, a chiluk between knosses. So all knosses work the same way.
Okay. What I understand is the way Rebbe explained, the chiyav of both knosses.
Both knosses? What are two?
Well, it seems like there's two different types of knosses that the Rebbe
is trying.
No?
I didn't mean to say two types of knosses. I didn't mean to say two types of knosses. I'm talking about the same knas, uh-huh. And I'm saying that on one hand we refer to it as knas because the cause of the chiyav is a penalty, right? Why do I have this chiyav? You have this chiyav because of a penalty rather than a replacement of a loss, mm-hmm. Right? So that's a description of what type of chiyav it is. Now,
can you give a concrete example of that so it's more clear?
So right over here in our case over here, right? Yeah. The din of oinus, right? The chamish mishkom that he's paying over here, it's not because of any loss. You know, any other things, boishus, begam, tzar, he's paying for, right? So what's he doing? It's a penalty for the action that he did. The mice is nus that he did, that's the penalties, right? So if we want to categorize that what type of chiv is this? Right? What's the cause? This is penalty chiv.
And there's never a knas that you pay. It's just a replacement for the value. You broke a window. That's you,
yeah, right. That's not knas. That's replacing
damages.
Loss.
That's damages. Nezek. That'd be
right. Right. Right.
So knas is always something over and above the actual damage itself.
Right. There is no damage at all. Right. Uh-huh. Right. Theoretically, you know. Right, there is no. Listen, you could personally be mechuyev knas even without any damage because it's non dependent on damage.
What would be a case like that where there's chayav knas and there's no damage at all? Well, in this case, there is a damage here by the oinus of the fata. That would be a case where there's no damage at all and you're chayav.
So we have a case of
It's kaful. Once you return the object, if you stole something and you return the object, now that it's returned, there's no damage because he's got it back. But you still have to pay kaful.
Oh, knas. Oh, that's knas.
I don't know.
Is that right? Kaful. Arba v'chamish.
Right. I don't know if that's that fully satisfied because.
Because there was originally a law.
So right. And Tchila Sachiv was because of that. So I don't really have a case to you that there that there is no law at all. I could just show you from a half mean of the Gemara. Right? We saw often that the Gemara was contemplating even that's not right. Okay, so I don't have a case. I don't have a case for you to show you that. But Akoponim, so that's discussing, right, that what more like what's the type of chiyuv or where does the chiyuv come from? Right? I think the speeding ticket is a good example of that idea. Right? There's definitely no loss, no anything over here, right? Right? And nevertheless there's a fine. Right, right. So that's what knas is. So knas would be a description of of the cause of the chiyuv. What type of now we're discussing something else now. Now we're talking about that. Granted that the original cause was knas, but now we're going to follow through this chiyuv. That there are different levels of the completeness of the chiyuv. And what we mean to say with that is that in Knas, we see that there's a difference between before Amod Bedin and after Amod Bedin. That means Amod Bedin plays a role to advance this Chiyuv and to bring it into actuality. This is a halacha that you only find by Knas, because, like we explained before, because something which is a momness, which is an intrinsic chiyuv, so at the time that loss was caused, that's mechayev replacement, and the full extent of the chiyuv all happens right there. Now, when we say the full extent of the chiyuv happens right over there, so we mean to say that the mazik is fully obligated to the nizik, and therefore the nizik has right now that full right to that money. He's just merely missing the collection, but he has the full right to make a collection, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea of going to Bezdin over there is just because he wants Bezdin to get involved, or he doesn't want to get in trouble, you know? Because it's all Bezdin oriented. Right, going to Bezdin with Hamod Bedin. If you want Bezdin to get involved, so they don't know that it happened, so they can't help him. On the other hand, that being that they don't know it happened, so if they find out that he went and took matters into his own hands, then as far as they're concerned, they didn't know that it happened, so he's stealing. Right? So the idea of going into Bezdin is just to verify and establish that it happened. But once it happened, it all happened then. Right? By Knas, like you see in the Gemara over here, that there's a difference in the actual level of the Chiyuv before Amod Bedin, after Amod Bedin. That means Amod Bedin has an effect on the level of the Chiyuv. Amod Bedin advances and creates or it brings the chiyuv into its full form. Before Hamad Bedin,
can we say that before Hamad Bedin there's no chiyuv at all?
Okay, so I'm we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Right? There is that's already into the dakus. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm using this this nusuch. Right? We'll see. It might be a question about that. Mm-hmm. But Akoponim, that definitely Amod Bedin is advancing in the Ikar HaChiyuv, right? And that's the basis of this halacha, therefore, that there's a difference between if the father dies, in this case, before Amod Bedin or after Amod Bedin. If he died after Amod Bedin, since that must have happened, so that brought this knas, it advanced it, and now we'll see terms. Now the level of chiv is what we call moments. It's a little confusing over here, right? You know, the knas, like I mentioned, like I said before, the word knas describes what type of chiv it is, the chiv, right? And knas is also a level of that chiv. Once that knas comes into full chiv, right, we refer to it as mama now, right? But just that's only referring to the level of chiv as far as what's the level of the rights that the one who's supposed to collect has on it. Mm-hmm. That's what we mean. Okay, so I hope that this won't become confusing. Okay, but if there's any question along the line, just to clarify, then you know you could speak up.
That's more clear for me.
Okay. So we're finding over here that there's a difference by knas. Let's say that the knas, the chamishim, the knas over here, before amodvin and after amodvin. Before amodvin, if the father dies, his children don't take him over. Why? Because that moment the father doesn't have to yashin it to his children. So let's call it at this point that it's a weak chiv. Rabbi Yo is mentioning that there is definitely stolen in the Rishonim that the chiv maybe is not even here at all. Right? But definitely it has to do with a weakness in the chiv, and that's why he doesn't have enough over here in that moment to yashin it over. So what that means?
By real mammon, when there's a chiyuv, it's as if it's already his money. It's his money. It's just right now. It's by the mazik's pocket, but it's his money over by him.
I mean, to a certain degree, to a certain degree. I mean, there's definitely that I wouldn't. No one would say that the coins in the mazik's pocket belonged to him. It's not a pikodin, right? So it's definitely in the hischaivus stage, but that in itself, the fact that he has rights to his money, he's yashing over the rights. He's not yashing over the coins because he doesn't own the coins. Right?
Okay, so the difference is the level of chiyuv?
Between what and what?
Kenas and mamon.
Yeah, right. That's what we're saying. Before amodvin, right? There's a difference in the level of chiyuv.
It's not like by mammon. It's the nizik already owns the owns some property of the mazik. Like mamoni gabach. It's not like that.
See, even that term, you gotta be careful with your mishalim and things like that. Even that term doesn't necessarily mean what way you're describing it, right? It's maybe shibudim his chayvasin, right? But that's what we call mechusar gluvayno.
Right.
He hasn't yet made the collection on it, so therefore he hasn't, his ownership has not yet been chal on any of the property which is going to be transferred to make the payment.
Right? I like to say that ownership isn't in computers we say boolean, isn't a yes or no situation. There's different levels of ownership. You know, you can own property, but you can't even, let's say, you know, currently, if you own property, it doesn't mean that you have the right to, you know, build a factory specifically on the land you have there, zoning law. So there are different levels of ownership. There's mm-hmm. the responsibilities.
Okay, that could be a way of understanding, right? So knas could be we can understand knas as a limited ownership in that his chayvus, right? We call it a weak his chayvus. But being that it's limited, it's you don't have it, you don't have fully have it. So there could be, therefore, differences, right? And this point, I think, is a little bit different than your example over there, but no, I think this is more like a result. So that means that Yerusha, this is, I think, the way to understand this, the simple way to understand like upon him is that a person has to have a good grip on something if he wants to, you know, if he wants to transfer it through tossing it, right? So if he doesn't have a grip on it, it's not going to go, right? So that's this idea. If you don't have a good grip on this mamonis, then the transfer of Yerusha is not going to happen, right? Right? So that's how this weakness plays out. That
it seems like there are two things by the two weaknesses in the kanas. One is that the person who might eventually has the schus to eventually get it maybe doesn't have a full schus like mamon at this point. There's also the possibility that the kanas might never exist at all, because if he's moda b'kanas, then it goes away completely.
Right, right. Then, but I would think that that's, you're right, it's the second halacha. I would think that that's all part of this first halacha. That being that, let me just think, is that right? Okay, it really has to do, like we spoke last time, what the din of madu knas, where the b'knas is.
Just in your terminology,
whether it's a
patur, right?
If it's a patur, so it would make sense to say that's only because the knas is in a weak stage, and that's why it's paturable. Idea hoido. Once that chiyuv solidifies and is brought out, then it's not paterable. That's how I would have understood it.
In your terminology, you said that it never exists at all, therefore it can go away. So those are two separate things, is that it never existed at all, and that the knas is coming to be. And then you said, and it can go away, means that it did exist, and it got taken away. That's like a subtle difference of what's happening with the mode of the knas is pater.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So let's hear again. How did you want to say it? Let's hear that.
Right. I mean, he has a schus to eventually. He has a schus right now to eventually get the kanas, if there'll be a kanas. But once he's moda, the kanas itself never comes into fruition, and so the schus to get that kanas goes away. He had a schus. But he only had a schus to get something if it would come to fruition. Since it never comes to fruition, so then his schus goes away. I think that's what I meant to say, but I hear that it's...
But that probably happens from that point and on, right? So what I mean to say is that would it be right to say that the weakness of knas is really a product of the fact that it's not definite because one could be moide? And pater, is that the root of why knas is weak? So that's what I'm saying. I would have thought that it works the other way.
What do you mean?
What's in question over here is that could we explain that the weakness of class that we see of the cause of the weakness is because there's a halacha that one could be moida? So that's the fact that it starts with that, the fact that one could be one way, so it's not definitely going to be, so that in itself is the cause of, even while it's here with a weakness, is that what it is? So the cause of the weakness is the halacha of moida umiftar. Is that the root of the weakness of knas, or even without that, the weakness of knas is not dependent on moida miftar? Even if there wasn't halacha moida miftar, knas would have a weakness, you know, till it's solidified with Gemara Din, and possibly on the contrary, possibly that only because of that weakness, that's why it's possible to have a loch of Moedah Miftar.
Mm-hmm. So I was assuming they were two completely separate weaknesses, but you're saying that they might, that they're
two
talui ha baha, and it's a question of which way it's talui.
Yeah, could be. Right.
Right. What was the other tzad of Patur? You said I can't remember now what we discussed.
The other tzad that we discussed was is just that one can't be mechayev himself. There's no din of ha'hoido as baal din. We can't use his own edus to be mechayev himself.
Oh.
And that's what we discussed then.
Oh, okay. The nichiyev never comes because he can't create it with his hoda versus. The chiyuv is kind of there, and he potters it.
Right. The difference would be if Aiden would come afterwards, right? So if it's just that he can't create, that chiyuv through his Aiden, okay, fine. Oh. You get a different Aiden afterwards, and he's chayev, right? But if he's creating a p'tur, then right, if Aiden come afterwards.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay, so let's get back over here. so we try to explain over here that. This that it says in the mission, there's a difference between Amod, before Amod and after Amod and concerning Knas. And we try to just give a little explanation how it works, why that. So, okay, now, Oy Bazoy, let's talk about the Mishnah, right? Let's see what the Mishnah says. How do you read the Mishnah? The Mishnah talks about there are a number of chiyuvim over here. We have three or four chiyuvim, which you have ba'enis mefate. And the Mishnah proceeds to tell us the difference when if the father dies before Amad Bedin or after Amad Bedin. Right? So the Mishnah would seem to be reading that the difference if the father dies before Amad Bedin and after Amad Bedin applies to all above mentioned. Mm-hmm. Which means not only knas, but even boishu supagam and tsar. Right? Now that raises a question to us. Right? That if that's true, that that's what it says in the Mishnah, so then we don't understand over here, because we just gave an explanation that in something which is its intrinsic cause of chiv is knas, is subject to this difference between amod bin and after amod bin. But something which is a momlistic achiv, which is nezek, damages, that's what boishes pagam and tsar is. That amod b'din, we said, doesn't change anything. That achiv was chal right away. So you have the full achiv, and he should be able to be merged that labonov. So why taka is that so? Why is that so? So the truth of the matter is, that there is a shittas rishonim that holds that inochanami, which means to say that when the Mishnah, this difference that the Mishnah talks about in two instances between before Amad and after Amad then only applies to knas. Inochanami does not apply to all the above mentioned in the Mishnah. You hear? Right? So the reading of Mishnah, according to that, might be a little more difficult. But the halachas that the Mishnah says are understandable, right? They're not chanamid. The hemshach haMishnah, which makes the difference between Amod bin before Menachem Modin, only apply to knas. Does not apply to. So therefore, according to this, the father dies before Amod bin, and that the Mishnah says that the sons don't yashin and she gets it. That's only concerning the knas. But of course, the boishes of pagam and tsar, that is. A moment is the gechiv, and it's bchanal. Its cause is not knas; it's a moment. So that gechiv is nigmar, right? Comes into full actuality right away, even before Amad Bedin. So that the father has, and he could yashin over to his sons. So that the halacha would not be according to many mishnayim, right?
The father dies, the brothers get it.
Yeah. So this that the Mishnah says over here, when the father dies. Before Amad Bedin,
only for Knas.
Right. She gets it. It's only. However, if you look at Tosfos, there's a small Tosfos over here, right? Which maybe those who learned the Sugya Bhagavad Bekever recall this. See the small Tosfos, first Tosfos over here in the Perek. You see that over here? This Tosfos is located on Mem Aleph Omen Beis on the bottom right side. Nair, right? That's the name of the parak. Lo hispik lamen bedina shemei sa'ach harehin shalatzmo. Yeah? Teimo. Tais asks a strong question. Tainach knas al boishes upagam d'memoino who the achin boy lemeve. In fact, Tais, I understand this in knas, but boishes upagam it should go to the achin. So first we see over here that Tosfos is reading in the Mishnah, right, is other than we just said in these Rishonim. Right? Tosfos says, the Mishnah says what it says. Right? Tosfos is not willing to bend the reading of the Mishnah. So therefore, Tosfos' Mishnah says that this difference between Amodin and Amodin, and Achar Amodin definitely does apply to Boishim, everything in Mishnah. Right? And therefore, Tosfos asks, what's Hakad Pshat? Yeah, what's the Pshat in there? So Tosfos, v'shemo mikroi de le'el, the nafki boishu supogam iskish ahadodi kideprishis liel. Tosfos says that possibly the answer is that there is a special gzeris akosav here that there is a hekish. There is a hekish, and as a result of the hekish tells us that these chiyuvim of boishu supogam follow the din of the knas. Now, the hekesh that Tosfos is referring to, Tosfos really over here speaks a little more, but what he's referring to is like this. That, remember the sugya, the Gemara had asked the question on that Mishnah which says that there's a chiyuv boishu supagam in tsar. And Gemara asks, Eimer chamishim, right? And that's the whole thing, no more. And the Gemara, that was Gans Shachav Tari in the Gemara to show that what's the source that there is a chiyuv more than just the knas of chamishim, and the Gemara at the end brings psukim, and the psukim are subject when the Torah talks about the chiyuv of knas, the Torah stresses that the chiyuv of knas is for something specific, which would give a mashmois that, but there are other chiyuvim, there are other charges for other things. Tachas asher ina, right? That's one of the Maram Mekayim, right? More brings. The chamishim is tachas asher ina. Mechlal de'ika boishes u'pagam. Right? So Tosfos is saying that since the way we know that there is a chiyuv boishes u'pagam really comes from the way the Torah puts forth the chiyuv of knas, that is a setup of a hekesh. And what the hekesh does is that it tells us that they follow each other. Tosfos is nusach is lemish zenitin zenitin.
What's the hekesh? What are the two things?
Knas and boishes supagam. Okay,
and because you learn boishes supagam from the same pasuk that says kanas,
so then it's makish.
Right,
that's makish. Now, if you want to see this in more elaborate, Tosfos is referring back to what he said in the sugya of Agar B'Kever, which Tosfos over there was Teich Dvorov.
What daf is it?
He really was sort of asking a question Lama over here.
Lama Ches
on Biz, yeah.
The big one at the end. Maybe re.
You see what? We'll start over here. Let's look around. Oh, one, two, three, four, five, six lines down. Second word on the line is v'afalgav. You see what that is? Right, v'afalgav. V'afalgav is tamper shnayra. That's our mishnah. Lo hispika lami bedin ad shemesa av. Harehin shall asmo. Zok Tosfos va'aboishes upgam nami koi. Zok Tosfos, and that din, right? Harehin shall asmo definitely goes on boishes upgam. Midikotone harehin. Mashma den yochol harish boishes upgam. Which that's that question, right? That you can't be boishes upgam. Why not? Why can't be Moshe Boishgam? Can ask, we understand Boishgam is a moment. For I'm read, the Le'inyin ze vaday iskish Boishes upagam leknas. We'll see Le'inyin ze as far as the halacha of being Moirish, that the Boishes upagam is compared. You see what that is?
Oh yeah, the Oymari. The Indian Zev, Vada Iskish.
Right? Then it's about the Iskish Boys from the Knaz, the Ksir Tachas Hashin, Michal Dika Boys in Supergam. That's the source. The way we know that this Pashas Gam is through the Pasuk expressing that Chamishim Kesev is Tachas Hashin, the Lamish is Zenitin, Zenitin. That's the source. And okay, before we go further in the Taisis, but this is the first step over here, right? So this is Shitas HaTaisis. Shitas HaTaisis is that specifically by Oynes Umefate, the Boishes Upagam will follow the lead of the Knas, and that's why it would seem that the Boishes Upagam has Knas Dikedinim. Only because of a special Xeris Akosiv over here. Now, Toisvis Taka makes a point in this Toisvis that he sort of asks on himself that we have a Mishnah which says clearly that as far as being Moide, right, the dinner of Moide only applies to Knas, not to Boishes and Pagam. Right? So if the Hekesh would be equating the din of Boishes Upagam with Knas, so then there should be a halacha of Moida Mifta there also, if the halacha applies. So on that, that's what that Taisus is coming to say, that the Hekesh is a very specified, specialist kind of Hekesh, and the Hekesh is only concerning the halacha Lemisha Zen Nitten, meaning is that when there's a payment, then it follows. But we don't mean to give it all dinei knas to part of the payment. Now, if you're not paying knas because you're moida, then you don't pay that also. But that's not the limit. The limit is misha zenit and zenit. Right? Okay, that tekatesis makes that difference. So as far as we're concerned, this hekish is only affects the din of moirish knas. Which might translate over here, right, just in the mechanics a little bit over here, that in this case the father dies before Amod Vidin. Right? So Knas, we understand that he doesn't have enough in the Knas to be merged to his children. So, you know, his chus, his right, which his children usually take over his right, but they can't take over this kind of right, so that it ends. Right? His chus dies with him. Right? We'll explain in a second. It goes over to his daughter. Now, Boishes Upagam, if we were to deal with them as what their din is in itself, and they should really go over, but the Torah was Megalat, the Torah told us in this Hekesh over here, Xeris HaKosav, Zen Nitten, so one could possibly understand that there's Xeris HaKosav that this, even though it's Momen, there's no Din Yerusha on this. That's what I'm just trying to, what needs to be explained is how does it work? Right? Why doesn't Yerusha pass this over? And how does, when Xeris HaKosav tells me Zen Nitten, what exactly was affected that Yerusha doesn't follow through? I mean, the father had this, he had the full schus on this, just like any other moment, you know, that's coming to him, he does yashin it over. So what did Xeris HaKosav do over here that didn't allow it to go through? So it would sound like that through this Hekesh, the Torah affected the Din Yerusha concerning this. Like we sort of put like a stop on it, right? Because because it doesn't have the intrinsic chesaron that it's not yours enough to be Moirish, right? Okay, so this is really a mechanical issue. They had to understand what did the Torah's, what was accomplished in the mechanics in this Xeris HaKosav that now Yerusha doesn't work, right? Did we weaken the schus itself concerning Yerusha, and therefore the schus of Boishes Hupagam really has a weakness, initially has a weakness concerning Yerusha, in this case over here, is that what it is? And that's why it's not Yerushable, similar to that of Knas, because that's what was accomplished. Is that the pshat? Or no, we didn't really affect it. You have a full chiv, but the Tadak put a black on it. Right? And that's why it doesn't go over. Right? This is alum the Shashilo of exactly how it worked. Okay, we don't have to go into that right now. Right? For those who appreciate it, you can think about it. Okay? You hit the mic, all right? I know
can you say the two stadim again just quickly? So one is a block. See, blocks.
But you hear what we want to know. See, because we're assuming that you have a full chiv on moments. So why is this then different than an alone that goes over, right? Well, why is it not going? So of course, the Torah said that you know you're not going to have Yerusha. Misha Zen is Zen Nitten. But how do you stop it, right? So there's two ways how to understand how you stop it. Either the pshat is that even though you really have the wherewithal, you own it enough to give it over, but we put a black on it. That's what the Torah did over here. Mm-hmm. Torah said that I want the Boshkram to follow Knas, so I'm going to put a black in it. So the reason why Boshes Upagam the reason why Knas didn't go to the sons and Boshes Upagam didn't go to the sons really for two different mechanical reasons. Yeah. Knas didn't go over because I didn't have enough to give it over. Boishes Pagam, he really had enough to give over. Why didn't go over? Because we put a black. There's a black.
Could you describe that as a hafka? Meaning it really was his moment, and the Torah now takes away.
Din Yerusha. It's a hafka on the Din Yerusha, that's what it is. I think that's what that Saturday will be, right? It's okay. Right? Yeah, so we affected the Yerusha. That's where we pull the strings, right? You really have something; it's yours. You have enough to yarn it over, but we put a short in the Yerusha, in the Yerusha wirings, right? The other way to understand it would be that in the initial hischaivus of the Boishes Upagam, there's a weakness in that concerning Yerusha. So then it's already similar in that aspect to Knas, that you don't have Boishes Pagam enough to Yashin it over. Right? Even though it is full concerning other things, let's say there's no halacha of Moed the Knas on, like Taisi says, but concerning Yerusha, there is a weakness in how much you have it, and that's why it can't go over.
So either way, it's saying it can't go over.
Right. We're talking to the mechanics, right? The people who can go under the hood, right? And like to see why. Why? We know this car is, you know, is not driving, but we want to know why. Yeah. Okay.
I hear that Rav Feinstein sometimes likes to fix his own car.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now. Okay, so we just mentioned Amachlokes in the Rishonim. I guess, you know, one might at this point think to himself, okay, so you know, maybe what does Rashi hold about this? Let's learn the Rashi and let's see if we have any idea what to take out of the Rashi.
So back on them.
So we're back over here on the Alpha and the Beis. We're learning directly on the Mishnah that we started with. Alright, we're jumping into the second Rashi. Lo hisbilam bedin. Right, the halacha of l'islam bedin, the halacha is that it does not go to the sons, rather it's harehin la'atzma. So Rashi, kimin l'yom de bedin, lav momen hu l'harish l'bonov. Right, Rashi talks this nusach over here that without the mother bedin, it's not momen l'harish l'bonov. Lav momen hu l'harish l'bonov. V'amrin l'kamon ein adam moirish l'bnoi zuchus shozach seloiter v'bitoi. The Yalef lo mikro. So let's see. Rashi says, there's two parts of the Rashi over here. Rashi says an explanation, and he gives us a source. Right? So the explanation Rashi says is, Kimle Yom Devedin, Lav Momen Hu Arush Labono. Now, this reasoning is something that we understand Knas, right? And this is really the base of Taisus's question, right? Taisus says, okay, I understand very good concerning Knas, but what's with Boishus Bagam, right? So it would seem like from Rashi that, I mean, what Rashi's saying over here, Uchara does not pertain to Boishus Bagam. The reasoning, even Tosfos, who holds that the halacha applies to Boishus Ubagam, but it's not because of this reasoning. There's another piece. There's a hekish, right? But the reasoning, this reasoning only talks to Knas. So were Rashi at this point in the Rashi, we would say that were Rashi to have held like Tosfos, then he's only explaining half the thing, right? So it would seem like from Rashi that he gave a satisfactory explanation of the halacha. So it would seem that this is the full halacha, right? That Rashi maybe does not hold like Tosfos. It would sound like from the Ritva that the Ritva personally argues with Tosfos. He brings from the Ramban, not like Tosfos, and he says chen nirali, right? That the halacha and Mishnah only applies to Knas. And you know, he's working with the Rashi for other reasons, and it definitely does not see what Tosfos is saying in the Rashi, and I would therefore think that just from looking what Rashi is doing, Rashi is just giving an explanation only applies to Knas, and he's not telling us anything more. Akopon, we'll see the second half of Rashi, maybe things will change. But at this point, so it would look that possibly the proper understanding in Rashi is that Rashi does not agree to Tosfos's premise.
They also say as a Rashi on Mem Pei Zamar Aleph, the second Rashi or third Rashi, Mesa Av, that also is Mashma, not like Tosfos.
Mm-hmm. Mem Pei Zamar Aleph, Mesa Av.
Second line.
Oh, in Mishnah. Okay. Well, when we get to it, we'll discuss what you could possibly see from that Rashi. Yeah, but let's see the Hemshech of the Rashi. Now, the Hemshech of the Rashi, right? We didn't really see this yet, so we're not going to fully appreciate it, right? Maybe we'll mention it now. Then, when we see it, maybe we'll come back. Rashi says, gives us the source. Rashi says the source is as follows. Rashi gives it's a Gemara on Mem Gimel that Rashi's bringing. Ein other Moirish Levinoi Zuchus Shazach Seloi Torah Bebitoi. Now, what that Gemara is talking about is as follows. The Gemara is talking about, let's say, the Ma'isi, the Din of Ma'isi Adayim, right? You know, the father has Zuchusim on monies that come to his daughter, if she works, and there's schar pu'ula that she's owed, that money belongs to the father. It's owed to the father. Now the Gemara discusses that when the father dies, right, and she's still in that age bracket of a naira, who does the paycheck go to after the father dies? So the Gemara over there says that it goes to her. What happened to the din Yerusha? Just like the father had a schus on his daughter, let him be merish that to his sons.
You're talking about money that she earned after the father died or before the father died?
Actually, I'm talking about money that she earned after the father died. Right.
Why should there be a din Yerusha on that?
But because it's a zchus that a father has, right? No,
okay.
Right. This that the paycheck comes to him is a outgrowth of a schus that he has. Huh. Right. Okay. So that means that he, to a certain degree, not really the right terminology, but let's say he owns his daughter, let's say, concerning this, and that's why her ma'isi daim come to him. So he has. But we'll call it an ownership in her, in a certain aspect. So let him give that over to his daughter, to his sons. So the Gemara learns from the pasuk, "V'estachalt meisam l'vneichem." We're talking about an eved knani. The eved knani estachalt meisam l'vneichem achreichem. The eved knani, the ownership that a person has in eved knani is such that it's subject to yerusha. And when a person dies, so the eved knani that he owned goes over to his sons, and his sons now own that Evan Kenani, but Yerusha, v'loi b'naiseichem levneichem, the Gemara learns. That the schus that one has in his daughter is not yarshinable, right? And so now we're talking about, right, this right that he has in his daughter, and that the Torah tells us in that pasuk that that's not yarshinable. And therefore, when he dies, that's chus ends. Now, what we're discussing over here.
What chus ends when he dies?
The chus that he has to the monetary income of his daughter.
Uh-huh. So when he dies, it's no more. No more.
Now, when we say no more, we mean that. I mean, if he's not alive, obviously he it's not going to be. No, but the issue is that it should go over to his children with Yerusha.
Right.
So all properties that a person has and all rights and that a person has, all different levels of ownerships, right? You know, even rights to things. That's a certain level of ownership, and that goes over to his children. But so one of the things that he has a rights to, which is not subject to Yerusha, is Schus Bitoy. Right? So his sons are not going to take over his rights to his daughter, and therefore after he dies, that Schus that a different party had in the Bas is non-existent. Doesn't carry over to the son, so, you know, it sort of dies with him. Okay. Now, Rashi's using this as a source for what we're discussing over here. What are we discussing? We're really discussing the halacha of in other merish knas lebonov, right? That's what we're talking about. And like Maka pointed out, we're standing after the cause for the initial chiyuv was chal. The father is going after the ma'isa oinus, right? So that happened, and that's definitely the cause. Maybe there's an issue like we spoke about how complete is that chiyuv, but definitely the cause of the chiyuv happened during the lifetime of the father. In that game over there, that we're talking about monies that she's making next week. Right, and we want that the next week's work, the payment of that work, should go to the son. That's the issue in that Gemara. And the Gemara says that no, you can't yashin it over. But definitely, money that she did last week, and the father didn't receive the paycheck, that paycheck will go to the sons. Right. So therefore, that there is. So it brings a Tosfos that asks on this Rashi whether this is a good source, because it's not really so similar. Like you're pointing out over there, we're talking about that that when the father dies, so he can't give over the schus for things that the cause for the chiv didn't happen yet, right? That's what you have over there. But on contrary, work that she did already does go to the sons. So over here we're talking about that the Maisa Oynis happened in the lifetime of the father. The father died just before Amod Bedin. And Rashi is saying that that's the source to this. Okay, so that is her order, and that might bring onto the table what Rabbi Yo mentioned before, that this might suggest to us that Knas before Amod Bedin maybe Taka has no chiv at all. So even though the action happened, but if there's nothing really happened as far as the chiv is concerned till Amod Bedin, so maybe that might explain the comparison that Rashi is saying. Okay, but there's a lot of fine points over here which we just mention, and for those who want to work on it and have files for these fine print, you could do it. Otherwise, I don't want to confuse those that are not ready for this. Okay, so just put that on the side. Okay, so that was the Rashi over here, and we're raising, once we saw the Tosfos, then we're raising that it could be that this Rashi does not agree with the Tosfos. Okay, now there's another point over here that we have to mention in the Mishnah itself, right? Which we didn't speak through yet. What we've discussed over here just was that why is it that every Av, when he dies, he yashens things over to his children? So what happened over here? So we discussed why by Knas is the level of the hischaivus is different before Amod Bedin, Achar Amod Bedin. There's a weakness, at least, in Knas before Amod Bedin. And that's why Knas is not yashinable. You don't have enough, a strong enough hold on that to yashin over. After Amod Bedin, by Knas, it advances the level of the Chiv. Now I have it just as good as any momentistic, any ikri moment. Right? And that's why after Amod Bedin, we could yashin it. Right? That's what we discussed. Before Amod Bedin, you can't yashin it. Okay, fine. So you can't yashin it. Now the Mishnah tells us that according to what we just discussed, if you can't yashin, the person dies, so then things end right over there. But the halacha in the Mishnah is that she gets it. Right? So this idea, right, is also an important point, what the halachas are and how it works. We see over here that on the one hand, the Av has schusim and rights to the Knas and other momenis. And we see that when at the point that the Av is out of the picture, then the Bas herself has rights. So it would seem to be that there's some kind of setup over here. Well, let's talk like this, and see, might have to adjust this, but just to give it over, it would sound like that there are one of two recipients of the chiv. I will call it a primary and a secondary, right? So it seems to be that this idea that the Av has chusim in his things that come as a result of his daughter, he's the primary mischayev. The one who has the chiv, the primary chiv is to the father. Kol zman that the father's chus is around, so the daughter doesn't get anything. But once he's nostalgic, then we have the secondary hischayvus, which is the daughter herself.
Maybe I can tell you the other way around. Maybe the real chiv is the girl.
Okay.
And the chmivah is the girl. Does the Torah tells you that she has to give it to her father when the father's alive?
Okay. I don't mean to negate that. That's what I was sort of hinted toward, that there are different ways of understanding this, and I just thought it might be just easier to talk in these terms right now. But there definitely is some kind of dependency over here, that when the father is here, so then the system, right? Right, and what I'm trying to say is that more than just bottom line, you know, he gets it, right? But the pipeline, the electricity current, right, is working to him, right? When he's not here, then the other system, right, you know, is activated, right? Akoponim.
Like a railroad switch.
Okay, yeah, maybe something like that, right? Right? Okay, but like Rabbi Yossi is saying, there are other ways of understanding it. I just want to give it over akoponim. One way of understanding it, just how it works, is, you know, it's not just magic. There's mechanics to how things work. So that's why we find over here that whenever the father's chus, for whatever reason why the father's chus ends, right, then it shifts and it comes to her. If the father was never here, let's say the father was not alive in the first place, then initially it's chal to her. These are situations where initially it was chal to the father, his chayvus. He's nistalik. The father leaves the scene, you know, at a later date, and then there's a shift, right? And shift to her. Okay. Now, let's talk about another point. We'll talk about another point over here. This point mentioned like this. Let's talk about the din of mafate, right? Mafate. The Gemara over here by us, and we had before, discusses the following idea. That let's say a case that there is no father. Let's say the father's not alive. Okay. And someone is mafate anayra. So it's mevuyer in the Gemara, kepshutoi, that he's not mechuyev. Why not? So the Gemara says, because since she did it midaita, so Zokrashi, that she's moichel. There's a mechila, right?
It seems that way even for Bosh and Begam, is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Others question whether that works for Knas, but definitely for Boishes and for Gam, right? Now, if that's so, then we have to raise a question over here, right? It would seem to be, right, that on a Maisa Pitui, from the fact that she's doing it with her. With her knowledge, so there's a mechila there. So shouldn't it come out that a ma'isa pitui, she should never be able to get that chiyuv? Now, our mission over here sounds like it's saying, einisu pegam, right? Initially, the father was here. Fine, at a certain point, the father is added the picture. Now goes to her. So the question that is raised is over here is that what happened to the mechila, right? She was moichel, so how could there be a chiv to her? It should be that, you know, she was, as far as she's, of course, like Moshe says, she can't be moichel her father. That's kra, you know, right? Kra ksusa shol, you know. That's that Gemara, you know, it's crack crucial of here. She can't be Merchel of her father's chos. So that's why, even though it was a Mefutin, like the Gemara says by us over here, right? The Gemara says, it's Peshitta that by Mefutin, it goes Laviha, because otherwise there shouldn't be any Chiyuvim, right? Because she's Merchel. Right? So of course she can't be moichel if it's not her schos, but she's moichel her schos. So l'chos she's moichel her schos. So shayin, so her schos by mefuta, her schos should never be an issue. So only calls man that the father's schos is here that should go. But once the father's schos is installed, shayin, then he's potter. Why is there halacha of arehin shalatzmo? Now this question again, right, is an issue in the Rishayinim, and there are Rishayinim that hold that this question is so valid that the truth of the matter is in a Hanami that this halach mission does not go on Mefater. In a Hanami. However, the Ritva talks about this, and Ritva makes the following distinction. Right? So we'll speak out the distinction, and then we'll need to explain how to understand that distinction. Okay, Ramach, we here?
Yeah.
Okay, so once again, the question that we're dealing with is as follows. That we know that in a case when there's no father, and someone's mefate or naira, the din is that he's potter. Why is he potter? The reason why he's potter is because since the ma'aseh was done with her knowledge, so like the Gemara equates it, it's like telling someone, here's my beged, rip it. Right? There's an intrinsic mechila in that to any hischayvusin. So over here, that's what she's doing. Right? She's ma'aseh. Now, if that's so then we're asking a question that our Mishnah seems to say not like that, because our Mishnah says that by mafate, that the Mishnah talks about that if the Av dies before Amod Bedin, so he doesn't give his chus to his children, so the Mishnah arranges Alatzimu, right? She takes over those chivim. So on that the question was, why is taking the chiyuvim? Isn't she meichel? She was initially meichel anything from her side of the chiyuv. She's meichel. She can't be meichel the father, but she's meichel her own. That was the question. Says the Ritva. No, there's a difference. There's a difference whether initially at the time of the ma'isa oinis, right, the initial point of his chayvus. If there was no father and it was coming to her, that's when a mechila helps. But if at the point of ischayvus, it wasn't coming to her, it was coming to her father, rather subsequently, it's her schos, then the mechila is not gonna affect it. And then the mechila won't patter. That's the difference that he makes, and we'll have to maybe explain it. Right, but let's just first hear the difference. We're making a difference as far as the mechila of a mafate, that if the original hechiv was to her, because the father was never in the picture, the hechiv was to her, that's where we find that there's a mechila and there can't be any chiyuvim chal because she's meichel. But if initially at the time of the ma'isa oinis, ma'isa pitu, the father was here, and therefore all those chiyuvim were coming to him, and of course her mechila can't affect him, she can't be moichel his chayvus to someone else, so even if subsequently he's nistali added a picture, and she comes into the picture, the fact that she was moichel in the actual ma'isa is not gonna affect the chiyuv that's chal to her today.
So the Ritva seems to learn that she's somehow like yorish the father's rights when he dies, as opposed to she's going back to the money being owed to her when the father dies.
Well,
that's one explanation. Yeah.
Did we say the Ritva holds that she only gets the kanas when the father dies, but the boshes and pagam still goes to the achim, right? Isn't that the way the Ritva was learning?
Right.
So obviously she can't be mochel the boshes of pagam because it's not even hers. It's going to the achim. So we're only really talking here about whether she can be mochel the kanas that was originally the father had the schus.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the.
So you're raising. I'll tell you what's relevant to the point that you're saying right now, right?
That was very, very good, because if she can't be Michael, if she can't be Michael the Maisa, because she has to leave the Maisa be, because it has to be that the Boshe B'gam is paid to the brothers, therefore she might not be able to be Michael the Kenas either.
Okay, interesting.
But why should that be?
She has to. She's
Michael
the Chiyuvim. The whole Maisa is no longer something the guy has to pay for. As if it's something that she totally agreed to, and there shouldn't be any payments whatsoever. So once she doesn't have the power to be Michael the Boshe B'gam, then she has to sort of acknowledge that there was a Maisa that took place that was an avla here that a pitui took place. And once she has to acknowledge that pitui took place, how can she be Michael the Kenas?
Well, okay, I'm not so sure why that has to be. Okay, well, maybe we'll have to discuss to get to your background understanding of how the mechila works. But akoponim, okay, that's a possible plan. Possibly, I think it needs explanation how that works. But I see that you're setting something up. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, like this. Now, this that Michael mentioned is at first glance, it's true, but it shouldn't make really a difference over here, because granted, but the question is that whatever the Mishnah is talking about, she was Moichel, and how could it be that if it lies in a Maisa Piti or Mechila from her end, so there can't be any Chiyuvim to her at any given point of time. So granted that the whole halacha in the Mishnah is in Knas, fine, but we'll ask our question concerning Knas, right?
Okay.
See, what's relevant over here in this cheshbon is something that was merumis to before, that there are, and this is very much connected, right? So this is, you know, just following what you can, that there is a question in the Rishonim whether the whole din mechila in the first place applies to Knas. Even in a case when the father is not here at the beginning. And that has to do with what was touched on before, that what is the level, or is there any level of Chiyuv in Knas before Amos B'din? There are Rishonim that hold that being that, and they seem to understand that there is no Chiyuv Knas before Amos B'din. Therefore, right? And there's a lot of Tzadim over here and different understandings. So we'll try to be clear to give across what the assumptions over here are, as follows. Point number one: these Rishonim say that there is no chiyuv of knas in knas before Amos B'din. Point number two is that mechila could only work on the chiyuv. If the chiyuv is supposed to come into actualize right now, I'll be mechilit, right? But if we're a pre-stage over here before the chiyuv, so there's nothing for the mechila to be nitfas to. So the mechila is not gonna, it's just gonna fall to the wayside, right? So even though, you know, it's like being moichel, you know, before the original hischayv is hischal. Okay, you know, for person.
It seems like there's a question: is the mechila going on? Okay, you owe me the money, and I'm moichel. You paying me the money? Or moichel on the maisa itself.
Now, see that term moichel on the maisa itself, right? So, but Yo has his understanding, which I don't really follow. You know, what
I'm not
that
saying
is.
That it didn't exist,
right?
The maisa existed,
right? So I think that side, and this is really what I want to bring out exactly. I'm actually touching on this exactly, right? How does the mechila work? These rishonim, one could understand, could you explain that mechila could only work. Could only talk to a chiv. So at a point that the chiv is supposed to be chal, I can be moichelit right? It talks to the chiyuv, mm-hmm. right? But if the chiyuv is not actually being chal now, then there's nothing here to be meichel. Now Michael's raising a good point that there could be a different understanding that mechila possibly could talk to the cause. To the cause of the chiyuv, right? For example, like the Gemara talks about the crack susi, right? So how do we understand that? The person says, you know, crack susi, right? You could rip my garment and you won't have to pay. So is the understanding that he rips the garment, the cause of the chiyuv comes into effect, and the mechila patters that chiyuv that's coming out? Is that what it is? And that's this understanding that we're saying in the Rishonim, that you have to have the chiyuv, or akoponim, you have to have the shas chiyuv in order for the mechila to talk, right? It doesn't necessarily have to work the chiyuv's chal in that second in patters, but yet we have to have the full cause to bring the chiyuv out for the mechila to talk, because the mechila talks to the hischaivas. Or possibly the understanding is that when I tell you to do this, so really what I'm doing is that the way mechila works, it works deeper. The mechila makes it that the maisa doesn't cause the hischaivas in the first place, right? So definitely, even by a mafater, right? The maisa is the cause. Even if it were to be that the chiv is not chal now till later. Right, you need that mother to bring out. But of course, it's a product of the ma'isa. The ma'isa is what we refer to as sibas ha-mechayiv. Sibas ha-mechayiv is there. So even though you might need other conditions to actually bring out the chalos chiyuv, but the sibas is there. Now, it's possible to understand, like Michael's heading at, that the din mechila is chal in this situation in the ikar ha-mechayiv. Therefore, there's no siba. Right, what we're doing is that we're affecting the cause. The cause doesn't cause a chiv. If that's true, so then it's not dependent on whether this is actually a shas chiv or not. Even if it's not a shas chiv, but the cause is damaged. That's what mechil is going to do. The cause doesn't allow the cause, right, to cause a chiv.
So if I move in and I say, here's a garment as a matana, he takes it from me, he's kind of it, and then he rips it to shreds. Can I turn around and say, now you owe me $100 because you tore my garment?
No.
Because there's no chiyuv. So if
I'm asking that you
do this with me, so then...
Yeah, so then, one second. But the case that you said was that he transferred ownership, and the person ended up ripping his own garment. Now, over here, I don't think that's what's happening over here. She didn't transfer her ownership to him. She didn't give it in any form or way, right? So that's not what's happening. He's not doing something
to
somebody
else. She gave away the rights that she'll no longer be a basula, and she gave away the rights that
I know what she, I know
whatever,
what that is. What is going
to happen with this maisa?
So I mean that has to translate into dinim, right? She gave over the rights. I don't know what that is. She has the such thing as rights to be a besula. I don't.
No, but
I don't
also, if there was a father, she didn't have at the time that the pitui took place. She didn't have the right to give those things.
Okay, one second. Right now we're discussing even if the father wasn't around, right?
Oh, okay.
I'm going to come back to that.
Oh,
right. So what we were saying was that as follows that. That Michael raised an important point in the cheshbon of what the halacha of Mishnah applies to relevant to this question. Again, the question over here was that mefater is a mechila, so if mefater is a mechila, so the question is therefore she should never be able to end up getting it because she's always mechila. That was the assumption of the question. So what was mentioned over here is like this, is that according to some Rishonim, right, possibly Rashi amongst them, is that the whole din of the Mishnah only applies to Knas. Once it applies to Knas, and then we bring in another whole issue, that is the din Mechila, which we find in the Gemara, does the din Mechila apply to Knas? Meaning, even in a case even in the case that initially she was the only one who gets this, the father's out of the picture originally, he's not alive, right? Even there, that the Rishonim argue about whether or not it's possible to be Meichel Knas through a rotten in the Ma'isa. And the reason why has to do with the fact that the Knas, there is no Chiv at all before Amod Vidin. Point number one. And point number two is that in order for Mechila to work, I need a Chiv in order to for the Mechila to be Chal on. If we're too premature and we don't have the Shas Chiv, so there's nothing for the Mechila to be Chal on. Right? So that's just putting that together. Now one could argue, or she does other Rishonim on this, who hold that it is possible to be Mechila Knas for one of two reasons. Either like Michael was heading, that the Mechila could be Chal on something deeper than the actual Hischaivus. Mechila could affect the cause of the Chiv. That's with the Chiv. And now if that's so, then it doesn't make a difference the fact that there's no Chiv in Lefaneinu. The Mechila could still work on something deeper. That's one direction you could go. Or one could work the other direction, like we were talking in the other Nusach before, that by Knas, it's not like there's no Chiv at all, but by Avada there is a Chiv Chal by Knas. It's just a weak Chiv. It's not transferable maybe in Yerusha, but the Chiv is here. So if there is the Chiv over here, so there's what to be Meichel. Meichel in, everything falls out. Okay? Okay, but we just want to get back to this, just to that Ritva. It's getting a little late over here. But the Ritva says like this. Ritva doesn't go down that direction. I mean, you know, he mentions it. He says that even if you held that Mechila could be on Knas, over here it's different. And that difference that we just said before, it was as follows. Right? The difference is that the Mechila that we have as a result of the Maisa Pitoy, the Mechila is right now. So the Mechila has to be Chal right now. Just like we discussed, right, that you know that if Knas doesn't have any Chiv, then there's nothing for the Mechila to be Chal on. So similarly, that if at the time of the Maisa, when the Mechila is happening, it's not her schus yet, it's the father's schus. Right? So, there's nothing for the Mechila to be chal on right now. Later, her schus is chal, but it's too late. Right? You can't use that Mechila for then. Right now, she's not in the state of Mechila anymore. Right? Now, this taka also might be dependent on exactly what's this a dependency, her chiv and his chiv, at how that works. We're saying now, and this might work together with something that Michael was saying before, that definitely nothing there for definite, but it's Mistava Milsa that if the father's around, so. Okay, there is one understanding that maybe Rabbi Yo was saying working like that, but when the father's around, then Kipshuta, there is no level of Chiv to her at all, right? So working with that, there's no way of her Mechila affecting her din now. However, using what Michael said, right, that concept that she could affect something maybe deeper, right, than the actual chiv. So we could start thinking that if at the time of the Maisa, there really is two pipelines, right, two electrical wirings that are set up, the primary and the secondary, right. So if we could possibly understand that her Mechila will affect the secondary at the time, right? So then we can understand, right, there's other possibility that the mechil will help. Is again, so the plan that the Ritva is saying, the difference that he's making, he's saying that her mechila, and this is true, I don't think anyone argues on that. Mechila has to be chal b'shaita, right? If it wasn't chal, you can't freeze a mechila for a later date, mm-hmm. right? Later date, you'll see we were standing, but you can't use an old. That's for sure. That's pretty for sure, right? So the issue always is going to be that at the time of the mechila, which is at the time that the ma'is was done, birotzen, is there something over here for her mechila to be chal on? That's going to be the issue. Right? That's the question. That's the issue concerning Knas. And that's also the issue over here concerning when the father's around, that is there something concerning her din, which maybe will come into effect later, but is something happening right now that the Mechila could affect. And therefore, it'll affect it, that therefore later it can't come into, it won't be able to come into actuality. Okay? Right? So that's a little bit discussing the Shittas V'Shem over here. Discussing
isn't there a concept that something is hovering above, waiting to be chal, and it can come into effect at a later point of time?
Okay, that's true. That's true.
So, maybe the mechila is like hovering above while the father has rights to this money, but if the father dies, then the mechila is chal at that point.
So I don't see what there is to keep the mechila alive. So you have to see what those examples are, that what you're referring to, this misla toli v'koi, see how that works, when that works, right? But right, maybe that's something to work with if you could, you know, have some kind of basis to explain why that should be. Akapanas, just see what we just ended up saying over here. So the question that we were dealing with is that the definitely mevuyin in the Gemara that a maisa pitui is a mechila on the side of the isha herself, and therefore a chiv which should have come to her, she's moichel. That's mevuyin in the Gemara. On that, the question was that in our Mishnah, it would seem to say contrary to that, because the Mishnah, the reading of the Mishnah would seem to suggest that when her father's chus ends, then her chus kicks in, even by a mafateh. That's what it would seem to be in the Mishnah, right? And that's what we discussed, the different options over here. Either maybe you could argue on that in the Chanami, doesn't apply to mafateh. If it does apply to fateh, possibly that this whole halacha is knas, and by knas, mechila never works. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? And the third option is that even though mechila does apply to whatever we're discussing over here, but mechila only helps that if the hischaivus was to her at the time of that initial mechila, then mechila could help. But our mission is talking about that when the mechila, which was the mice that was done midaita, at that point the chiv wasn't to her at all; it was to her father. Her chiv is first gonna kick in later. Her mechila for before can't help for later, because there was nothing for her mechila to bechal at the time, since it wasn't her zchus. So the mechila, you know, dissipates. Right? It doesn't stay around, and therefore at the time when the chiv is chal taka to her, we don't have any mechil anymore. And that's why the Mishnah says that he's mechiv to her. Okay?